Hello and welcome to the CSFL Hub podcast. I'm your host as always, Kyle. Today we'll be going over our week two matchups. So let's go ahead and get right into it. Our first game of the weekend was our only Friday night action. This was Army at Navy. Navy took this one 27-13. My player of the game is sophomore defensive lineman David Niske. He finished with 4 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, and 2.5 sacks. Navy wins their first home game of the season. Despite the 27 points on the board, they did not generate as much offense as they would have liked or as much offense as they did the previous week versus Chestnut Hill. Junior quarterback Brandon Atwood only threw for 76 yards, did throw for a touchdown, and add 56 yards on the ground, but he's definitely capable of having more prolific games in terms of passing and rushing. That being said, him running the ball is something that Navy's definitely going to continue to lean into. It's been very, very effective in their first 2 weeks. Expect him to continue to get some of those quarterback design runs, and he's fully capable of taking it himself when plays break down, and at least 2-3 plays a game. So far in these first 2 weeks in the season, he's had a play or two where he's just like, whether he's scrambling or legitimately rushing, just like shaking dudes off him, stiff arming, guys falling off him. Just a hard guy to tackle at the quarterback position. It looks like a really, really well-built guy, even though he might not be the fastest guy at the position. Other ball carrier, Kudet Alex Tota, star senior running back. He added 74 yards on the ground. No touchdowns this week. He's really just waiting to pop. I think he's going to have a couple of big games this year. Hasn't needed to have them this early in the season, but I know he's just going to have like a 120-yard, 130-yard game, 3 touchdown game type of game eventually. It hasn't happened for him yet. Luckily, they have won their 2 games with some strong defense, but he's going to have a legendary type game, at least 1 game this year. I can just feel it coming. I know it's coming down the barrel for him pretty soon. 27 points on the board, but the Navy defense, really was the thing to write home about this week. Defensively, a couple of guys want to mention junior linebacker Jake Castagan. He led the team with 13 tackles, added 1 tackle for loss, and a half a sack. Up front, Devin Martin, who's been a mainstay, was going to be a mainstay on this Navy defense. He has 6 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss. And then, my player of the game, sophomore defensive lineman David Niske, had 4 tackles with 2.5 for tackles for loss and sacks. So, safe to say that Navy front really terrorized the Army offense. When we go into the Army offense a little bit, they did still manage to generate a lot of yards. But every time they were driving or it looked like they got something together, it was either a turnover or just a good third down, fourth down stop from the Navy defense. But ultimately, defense did win them this game. I believe the first touchdown or the second touchdown or the second and third touchdown were defensive touchdowns. It was like a fumble recovery for a touchdown or close to a touchdown. And then there was a pick six from senior defensive back Lane Condi. He also had 5 tackles on the night, but he took an interception 28 yards to the crib, which was the theme of the weekend. We had a lot of pick sixes this weekend, but I'll get into that a little bit later. But again, Navy took this one 27-13. They head back on the road next week to visit Caldwell in New Jersey. Again, Army offense did actually generate more total yards of offense than Navy, but they couldn't overcome those early turnovers that I mentioned previously. Junior quarterback Mikael Wilkie threw for 226 yards, 1 touchdown, did have 2 interceptions. But Wilkie would have had even more yards if it wasn't for a few drops. That was probably the other theme of this weekend. Across both leagues, there were lots of drops this weekend, lots and lots of drops. Some from guys you maybe would expect from, maybe not the type of dude to drive the bus. But decent amount of drops this weekend from some guys who really drive the bus and are catalysts for the football team. So hopefully we can see that get fixed up, because some teams definitely had their positions changed in that game in terms of the outcome because of a ill-timed drop here, ill-timed drop there. So hopefully we see that get shored up. With Wilkie throwing for 226 yards, the Army running game was actually very, very effective. Sophomore running back Henry Beck and junior running back Ryan Connors combined for 148 yards on the ground. And both of them were averaging over 4 yards a carry. So watching this one, that was the thing that stood out to me the most was how effective the running game was, especially when that hasn't been the calling card at Army the last few years. You know, partly, you know, not having a uber talented running back. Definitely a lot of talent and time goes to developing the quarterbacks there or the wide receivers. But, you know, Beck and Connors are, you know, two solid guys rushing a rock. So the fact that they generated that many yards and they kind of turned away from it at some point in the game was a little head scratch, especially when the game was still within reach. If you just get something on the board, most of the time they were driving, those two were generating a lot of yards, and then boom, pick, or then boom, fumble. So definitely be interesting to see what those two can do throughout the year, and maybe will be the revival of a strong running back core up there at Army. Definitely like watching those two guys play, both run hard. Senior wide receiver Donovan Mannion was one of the guys who did have a couple of drops this weekend. Ended up dropping a touchdown, would have been a jump touchdown early in the game. But despite that, he still did show up and, you know, help drive the Army offense. Finished with 11 receptions, 90 yards, and one touchdown. Again, one of the better receivers in spring football in the CSFL. Definitely bounced back from a couple of drops, but it'd be interesting to see how they can continue to utilize him moving forward, as he's by far their best offense player. Junior linebacker Luke Gigliotti was a force in the middle for Army, as he usually is. Finished with 14 tackles to lead the team and lead the game, I believe. On defense, outside of that, it was very spread out. Tackle for loss for this guy here, a couple tackles for this guy there. But the other guy I wanted to highlight was senior cornerback Sam Whipple, one of the better defensive backs in the league. Didn't see a whole lot of action again. Brandon Atwood didn't throw for too many yards. Also, didn't throw at Whipple too many times. He did make a couple PBUs and fights for some contested catches all throughout the game, and didn't allow a single catch. So that's definitely something that was interesting to see, you know, them having Andrew Margiotta. Sam Whipple definitely won that matchup the few times they were matched up, and definitely won, you know, did what he had to do for the Army defense on that day, which is lock it down. Army hits the road next week to visit Penn and Philadelphia. Next up, we have Penn versus St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas won this one 21-17. So this is Sunday, September 25th. This is the day after the game. The box score for this game is still not up yet. I watched this game, so this is much more of like my direct viewer, you know, viewing notes from watching the game. Went back and watched it again because it is on their league network on demand. If you're familiar with Division II sports, a lot of times play on a centralized network and you can go back and watch a lot of replays, a lot of sports, basketball, volleyball, everything in between. So did that again this morning. The box score was still not up. So definitely we'll update with some stats when we get from this game, but it's a lot of me just going off of memory right now. But nevertheless, Stack did win this one, a tightly contested game. This was the first meeting between these two teams. This is also the first time St. Thomas, well, since it's the first meeting, obviously it's the first time Stack has beaten Penn. But, you know, very routinely throughout the league's history, it's a badge of honor or a staple when one of the, especially newer Division IIs, does manage to overcome one of the traditional teams, and meaning the two Ivies and the two Academies. So it's definitely a big program win for them. It's right about that time. I believe St. Thomas Aquinas is in year 5, maybe year 6, something like that. So that's really when you see the Division IIs really, really pop in terms of winning tough, tough games. And that's what this one was. Definitely an instant classic. Definitely a game to be remembered and send some shockwaves in the CSFL. Sophomore quarterback Ryan Kenny made his debut last season. He was a safety, so transitioned to the offensive side of the ball for St. Thomas Aquinas, and he did not disappoint. Again, don't have total yardage, but he did throw for 3 touchdowns. All 3 of them were really, really good throws. Made a lot of very impressive throws throughout the game. One of the best throws of the weekend that I saw came, and he got absolutely blasted, but he still managed to find a receiver deep down the field. I believe it was Philip Melky. Who caught that really, really long one. But he definitely looked the part, looked big, looked strong, had a run or a scramble early in the first or second drive where he absolutely boomed Lewis Evans, who's one of the better Mike backers in the league, one of Penn's best defensive players, period. So that was definitely impressive, definitely set the tone. So be interesting to see what he's going to continue to bring moving forward for St. Thomas Aquinas at the quarterback position. His three touchdowns went to junior wide receiver Philip Melky. That first touchdown to Melky, Melky went up, had to climb the ladder, made a big-time catch, 50-50 ball over top of the Penn defensive back. So that was definitely very, very impressive to see from him. Second touchdown was from junior wide receiver Luke McKenna. Similar setup, just flipped on the other side of the field in the red zone, going in, knocking on the door, found one of his guys, one of the older guys in the stack receiver corps. And the last touchdown was the sophomore wide receiver Hassan Blakeney, who would have had a big, big day as well. He had the final touchdown of the day for St. Thomas Aquinas. Melky and Blakeney definitely have 40, 50, 60-plus receiving yards for the game. Again, the box score is not up at the time I am recording this, but each one of them did catch touchdowns, and Blakeney did have about four or five catches. So those three, specifically those two wide receivers for St. Thomas Aquinas, definitely left an impact on the game that ultimately led to them winning the game. Another guy had to mention, sophomore running back Bo Maroney. I had, again, without seeing the exact stats, I'd be willing to wager he probably had a career high in rushing that day. Definitely one of the best rushing games I've seen for St. Thomas Aquinas as a program. They were really running the rock. Like, they were getting good, good yardage, and Maroney was running really, really hard, getting yards after contact, running through guys. Definitely one of his better performances and one of the better rushing performances as a team I've ever seen from St. Thomas Aquinas. So I'll be willing to bet, without seeing the box score, that that's one of their highest rushing totals as a team, and he had one of their maybe five or six highest rushing totals as an individual rusher. That's how good they were really running the rock. Again, no box score. I'll compare everything I'm saying once I actually see the box score, but I'm feeling pretty confident he had a record-setting day for him. St. Thomas Aquinas is going to hit the road next week as they go see Alderson Brodus. Then we get to Penn. Again, no box score. That's the last time I said it. But Penn struck first in this one. They had the early lead. Senior quarterback Andrew Paolini found wide receiver Brandon Graves. This is probably one of the other better throws of the weekend that I saw personally. Paolini, when he found Graves on this touchdown, he took a shot, but you could tell he was reading it for a while, reading it the whole way, let his guy create some separation, threw it right on the line, probably 30, 40 yards. Nice high right in the bucket. Definitely one of the better throws I saw this weekend, especially, you know, when you factor in the fact that he got rocked. But he still delivered the ball, threw a really, really good pass. Brandon Graves is definitely somebody who's going to be a difficult matchup for guys moving forward just because of his size. That touchdown he caught on really, really good corner is a stack sophomore quarterback, Sean Bernard. But that was one of the last times in the game that he managed to have an impact. I believe he had a couple more catches, but that was definitely his biggest play of the day. Another guy for Penn who showed up was freshman running back Levi Gaines. He had a really, really big run on the day. He might have been close to either a tick under or a tick over 100 yards. He got a lot of yards on a big, big run. I believe 40, 45 yards as Penn started to make their comeback. He's another guy who's really, really proven that he's going to be impactful as a freshman. I was anticipating another guy that they got, sophomore running back to be getting a lot more carries than he has been, but it's definitely a testament to Gaines and his ability that he's been. He'd RB1. It's not even close, not even a question. Definitely a strong runner. Looks like a guy who can have a little bit more wiggle room to get a little bigger, get a little faster. So definitely be interesting and fun to see him play as he continues to mature throughout his career. On the defensive side of the ball, again, can't really say who did what in terms of tackles for loss, sacks without the box score in front of me. I believe one Penn defender did catch an interception. I couldn't catch what number it was, but they did, you know, cause some turnovers, did cause some ruckus, did hold it out for a while, but ultimately St. Thomas Aquinas did take this one. So Penn heads back home next week as they welcome Army to Franklin Field. Next up, we have Caldwell versus Alderson Brodus. Caldwell took this one 24-3. My player of the game is senior defensive lineman Michael Lorman. He finished with 4 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, and 2.5 sacks. So Caldwell starts their year off 2-0 with their first road win of the season. Similarly to Navy in this one, Caldwell's offense was not clicking. Maybe the way we are used to seeing senior quarterback Frank DeMeo only had 8 completions. Now, 2 of them did go for touchdowns, but he did not throw for a lot of yardage. Didn't run for a lot of yardage either in this game. But they still managed to put up 24 points. Again, very, very methodical. This time, instead of putting 6 on the board every time, they got in the field goal range a lot and just let their kicker bring it home and play good defense. Freshman running back Devin Turner led the team with 50 yards rushing. No touchdowns from him on the day. But again, when you hold a team to 3 points, I think the stars of the day are definitely on the defensive side of the ball. Sophomore defensive lineman Corey Campbell, he had 4 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, and 1 sack. And again, my player of the game is Michael Lorman. He had 4 tackles and then 2.5 and 2.5 for the tackles for loss and the sacks. Definitely kept Alderson Brodus in check. They held AB to negative 48 rushing yards as a team. So safe to say, AB could not generate anything going up the middle or going sideline to sideline in terms of rushing the ball. Sophomore defensive back Ethan Edwards sealed the game at the end of the day with a very big time 68-yard interception to the crib. So that was our second pick six of the weekend. He did that in the third quarter to help put the game away. And then sophomore kicker Michael Kaslin, again, 2 field goals throughout the day, just helped seal it away. Didn't get 6, but they always got 3 when they didn't get 6. So definitely crucial part of their game plan today, and having a kicker as reliable as that shows you, you know, that they can dictate the outcome of a game. Caldwell heads back home next week as they take on Navy. Alderson Brodus, again, couldn't really get much going in this one, only managing to score 3 points. 2 quarterbacks played for Alderson Brodus combined. They threw for less than 100 yards, and they each threw 1 interception. So passing the ball was not really effective on the day, although their most effective offense player was a receiver. Again, running the ball definitely was not it for Alderson Brodus today. 2nd week in a row, I believe the AB team has finished with negative rushing yards. Sophomore wide receiver Blake Baxter was their most consistent offensive player. Despite the 2 quarterbacks not being very good on the day, the young receiver led the team in just offensive yardage, really. Finished with 6 receptions for 47 yards. That's the 2nd game in a row he's had at least 40 yards receiving. So he's definitely one of the guys that they're going to have to continue to target and, you know, find ways for him to get the rock just to, you know, try and generate some quick offense from time to time. Sophomore linebacker Jabari Gittins and junior defense lineman Austin Bradley did what they could for the Alderson Brodus defense. Finished with combined 9 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks. Alderson Brodus stays home this week as they welcome St. Thomas Aquinas to West Virginia. Next up in our last game of the weekend, we have for the CSFL, last game of the weekend, we have Chestnut Hill versus Mansfield. Mansfield wins this one 41-20. My player of the game is sophomore quarterback Kasid Raymond. He finished with 295 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 98 rushing yards, and 1 touchdown. 4 total TDs for the sophomore quarterback. Mansfield bounced back in this one after offensively a disappointing game for them last week against Caldwell. Again, Kasid Raymond had 4 total touchdowns on the day, over 300 total yards, close to 300 passing, and close to 100 rushing. Seeing a lot of improvement game to game, year to year from Raymond. It's really, really nice to see. Made all types of throws in this game, sitting in the pocket, getting hit, scrambling, making it happen, and then obviously tucking and running when it is time is something he's never had any trouble with. So good to see him continue to develop and his maturation process. Also good to see him back after he didn't finish the game last week, but it appeared that he was okay. So good to see that he doesn't have any residual effects from that game. They came back in full force. Sophomore wide receiver LaTrenton Randall had maybe his biggest game of his career, definitely in terms of yardage. Finished with 5 receptions for 104 yards. Senior running back Terrence Quaker found the end zone for his first time in a couple of seasons. He finished with 12 rushing yards, but 2 receptions for 52 yards and 1 receiving touchdown. It's good to see him back. Guy who battled some injuries throughout his career and, you know, former first team all-league guy, former newcomer of the year. So it's good to see him bounce back and be able to, you know, affect winning in a positive way. Definitely a guy I'm rooting for. A senior linebacker, Matt Robert, led the team like he usually does with 9 tackles, adding 1 tackle for a loss. Sophomore linebacker Gavin Hinman was not too far behind. He had 8 tackles, 2 tackles for a loss, 2 sacks. And for the front four, senior defensive lineman Chase Moser lived in the backfield. He finished with 7 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and 1 sack. Mansfield hits the road next week as they go to visit Cornell in Ithaca. Flip side in this one, Chestnut Hill. Well, they did manage to put up some points. Most of them did come late, and they just couldn't keep pace with the Mansfield offense. Freshman quarterback Anthony Cancellara proved on his week one performance, threw more yards than he did in week one. This time he threw 133 yards and 1 touchdown. Biggest takeaway, though, for Chestnut Hill in this one was definitely the effectiveness of the running game, specifically with their 2 young running backs. Sophomore running back Anthony Broderick led the team in rushing with 85 yards and a touchdown. Had 2 really, really big runs in the game that, you know, gave Chestnut Hill a little bit of a spark, gave him some life. Kid's a tough runner, you know, despite being on the smaller side. He has a nice built body, strong legs, consistently makes plays for them. Seems like every week he has a big-time run for them. So it's definitely a guy they're going to want to lean on as they move forward throughout the season. And then in to relieve him, freshman running back Zaire Pannell got the game going late. He finished the game with 61 yards, and he started taking carries maybe the end of the third, start of the fourth. Finished with 61 yards, had a really, really big run in there as well. So 2 young guys really going after it, trying to make it happen for their team, despite the loss. Sophomore wide receiver Xavier Kendricks led the team in receiving yards and receptions. He had 5 for 61. Defensively, Chestnut Hill just, you know, couldn't do much with Mansfield on the night. Freshman defensive lineman DJ Francis led the team with 6 tackles. But outside of that, not a lot of penetration, a few tackles for loss scattered around, not many or very few sacks. So defense couldn't do much to stop Mansfield on the night. Chestnut Hill heads back to Philadelphia for a bye week before they visit Franklin Field the week after the next to take on Penn. Now we get going into our MSFL action out in the Midwest. First game we had out there was St. Mary of the Woods College versus Quincy. St. Mary of the Woods College takes this one 21-7. My player of the game was freshman linebacker Nolan Knoll. He finished the game with 16 tackles. SMWC gets it rolling for their second win of the year. Freshman quarterback Brennan Landry returned to action after missing the second half of last week's game, thriller overtime game versus CCSJ. So good to see him back. Definitely a young, promising quarterback. Good to see him bounce back from, you know, an injury. Clearly appears to be minor. Did not affect his play at all. The young quarterback threw for only 91 yards, but did add 2 touchdowns with 1 interception. Added 51 yards on the ground. A very, very decent to solid game from him. Across the league in the MSFL, not a lot of high passing totals this week. Definitely, you know, with the element of surprise being gone, with teams having tape now and adjusting, being able to, you know, react specifically to what this team is specifically trying to do offensively, especially in terms of passing. It's to be expected that the passing numbers dipped. No quarterback out here really had a prolific day with some of the numbers we saw week one. But effective football, bad case of the drops over here in the Midwest too. So some of these guys could have had some higher totals, even if it's only by, you know, 10 to 30 yards. But definitely had a case of the drops throughout, you know, some of these games. Across all 6 of these teams. So definitely is something we're going to want to see improve throughout the weeks. But that being said, like I said, SMWC did take this one. Defensively, again, is where the stars really shine brightest. In this one, you had Nolan Knoll, again, leading the team in the game with 16 tackles. Right behind him was linebacker Jake Skinner, who added 11 tackles with 2 tackles for loss. And freshman hybrid edge player Hunter Cardwell had another big game. He had a big game last week. Finished with 8 tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, and 3 sacks. A second game in a row for Cardwell with 2 tackles for loss. Definitely appears to be a guy who's going to be able to make an impact against all of these teams every time they line up. Definitely a fun guy to watch, especially up front. You know how I love that up front action. Next week, SMWC stays home again as they welcome Midway. Then we go over to other side of this one with Quincy. Played hard on both sides, made a couple of big plays, but they just couldn't keep pace. That St. Mary the Woods College defense just proved to be too much. Senior quarterback Taylor Klusmeyer threw for a career high 171 yards, but he threw for no touchdowns with one interception. I believe that was a league high in the MSFL this week, 171. So good total, but definitely not, 200, 300 yards like we were seeing from some guys last week. But Klusmeyer definitely did, throw a decent game despite the one interception. He did score the lone touchdown for Quincy, though. Second week in a row, he has a rushing touchdown, I believe. Doesn't always get the high yardage totals of maybe a Sid Raymond or some of the higher yardage totals we saw last week. But he's a consistent runner. He takes 3 to 4 yards. Definitely somebody that they use consistently in their offensive game plan. So had a high amount of carries, I believe, this week. Not necessarily the best yards per carry, but gets the first down. Just gets the chains moving sometimes. It's all they're asking them to do. They're not asking them, to book it to the crib 50, 60 yards at a time. So definitely a consistent runner of the football when he is called upon. On the outside, their most effective offensive player was definitely freshman wide receiver Camden Pye. He was the main target on the day. Finished with 9 receptions for 114 yards. First 100-yard game of his career. So definitely something to be proud of there. Again, made some big, big catches down the field. Was one of their only consistent offensive targets throughout the game. Excuse me. Defensively, a few guys did step up, try and keep it close. Freshman defensive back Cordell Walker led the team with 8 tackles. Also had a sack from the defensive back position. And freshman DB Landon Smith made an impact in the game. He had 2 tackles, 1 INT, and 3 passes broken up. Definitely a guy who made some plays last week as well. It's going to be a guy I keep my eye on. Appears to be one of the better safeties in the league. Already laid a couple of big hits as well. So Landon Smith is definitely a guy for Quincy who's going to continue to give them some production in the secondary on the defensive side of the ball. Next week, Quincy heads home for their first home game of the year versus Bellarmine. Next up, we have Bellarmine versus Fontbonne. Bellarmine won this one 14-6. My player of the game is freshman running back, also defensive back, Brendan Reed. He finished with 118 rushing yards, 1 reception for 9 yards, had 3 tackles and an interception. Bellarmine hits the 2-0 mark this season. Freshman quarterback Dylan Goff had a decent day, threw 407 yards with 1 touchdown, just 1 interception. His touchdown, however, was an absolutely beautiful throw to freshman wide receiver Joshua Bivens. Goff had maybe the other throw I put up there in terms of just one of the prettiest throws of the weekend. Again, stood in the pocket, threw it on it. It was a hitch and go, so it really needed some time to develop. Didn't get out of there, didn't skedaddle, stood in there, and he took a hit, still threw a strike. A very, very beautiful ball, 30, 40 yards down the field, and Bivens did the rest. So definitely a guy who continues to improve week to week. Fun guy to watch. And it's very, very interesting to see all these quarterbacks who are, except for Klusmeyer, are all freshmen, go through this maturation process. And it'll be interesting to see all of them grow together and see what backup quarterbacks can, rise from this. Because St. Mary's of the Woods College won their game last week with their backup quarterback. And he appears to be very, very talented. So definitely a talented crop of young freshman quarterbacks in the MSFL. Very, very interested to see where this goes in terms of each of their individual developments. But back to the team. Again, my player of the game, Brendan Reed, 118 rushing yards. Kid just seems to make big, big plays every week. Saved his best run for the last run of the game to seal it. 64-yard run backed up in their own red zone. Backed up on the door of their own end zone. Not anything sophisticated in terms of play calling. Just a dude with a bad attitude running a rock. Ran through about 4 or 5 tackles. Was really in a scrum of it in the mix. Came out some daylight and just took off running. Very, very impressive run. Definitely something. Yeah, my juices flowing just watching here from Philadelphia. So really, really big run from him. The previous play right before that, when Fontbonne was knocking on the door trying to get the lead, he actually had the interception on the goal line to stop them from scoring. So back-to-back game-winning plays for Brendan Reed. That was nothing short of spectacular from him in both of those plays. So he's definitely one of the best players in this league. I think he's definitely proved that. Definitely one of the best sprint football players across both leagues. When you have a guy who can start both ways like that and basically shut it down and win the game for you on both sides of the ball back to back. That's some next level stuff right there. So big ups to him. Definitely looking forward to watching him play out the rest of the season. On the defensive side of the ball, freshman defensive back Tavius Francis also had a big play. He took a 40-yard interception back to the crib to actually score the first points of the night for Bellarmine. I believe that is our third pick six of the weekend. So lots of pick six action going down this weekend in spring football. It was super, super fun to see. You know, that being one of the benefits of spring football, some of these dudes touched a rock. You got to flip your mindset from offense to defense like right now. Not that it's not that way or with traditional teams, Division III to Division I, but you got to go. Like, you got to go right now. Some of these dudes touched a rock, and it's like a NASCAR race. So definitely fun to see him catch the interception and take off. Broke the game open for his team. Ultimately was the differentiating touchdown that ultimately led to them winning the game. Bellarmine hits back on the road next week as they take on Quincy in Illinois. Fontbonne continues to search for their first win of the season. Offense has definitely been a struggle for them so far through these two games. Griffins played two freshman quarterbacks trying to generate some offense. The duo combined for 111 yards, one touchdown, but three interceptions. When the backup quarterback Scruggs did get in the game, they did move a little more. Ultimately, he was the one who threw the touchdown, but still definitely struggled in terms of passing the ball and their passing offense in this one. Freshman running back Darren White led the team in rushing for the second week in a row. He added 40 yards on the ground. Freshman athlete, ball carrier, you know, running back, receiver type, Chris Rackle led the team with receiving yards, had five receptions for 55 yards. And the lone touchdown of the night was thrown to freshman converted quarterback to wide receiver Andrew Webb. Scored the only touchdown on the night on 27-yard receiving TD from Scruggs, a freshman quarterback. Defensively, though, Fontbonne continues to shine. Definitely seeing a lot of impressive defensive players for them. My favorite two right now, definitely Avion Bass and Isaiah Sanders. Both of these guys play up front for them. Defensive end, Sanders maybe a little bit of defensive end, a little bit of defensive tackle. Bass added 13 tackles on the night with a half a tackle for loss. Sanders had 12 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, and 1.5 sacks. Sanders had a bunch of tackles for loss previous week with some sacks too. So off the top of my head, he may be leading the MSFL in tackles for loss right now. So it's definitely a dangerous guy. Consistently was getting in the backfield. And when he slants hard. He's coming across guards' faces, offensive tackles' faces, and just causing havoc. A couple plays he chased the play down from backside. So they're running away from him, but he slants or he comes off the edge with a good move, counter move, block shed, and is chasing the play down from the backside. So very, very impressive day for him despite the loss. Fontbonne heads back home next week as they take on Camulet College of St. Joseph, CCSJ. Last game of the night, latest game of the night, we had, as for mentioned, CCSJ versus Midway. CCSJ won this one 35-0. My player of the game is freshman running back Jonathan Flemings. He finished with 163 yards and one touchdown. This was a good one from the CCSJ Crimson Wave. Freshman quarterback Blaze Canoe only threw for 52 yards, but he did add 92 yards on the ground rushing. So a lot of rushing from our quarterbacks this week in terms of just being able to generate yards and understanding when it's time to pull it, time to take it, or just having that internal clock go off in your head, understand when it's time to get out of there, pockets collapse, and that type of thing. But again, the hero on the day was definitely Jonathan Flemings. Continues to have an impressive season. Two back-to-back 100-yard rushing games from a freshman is very, very impressive. This time it was 163 for one touchdown. Definitely the catalyst for them offensively. Strong runner. Very, very fast, downhill, one-cut type of guy. Looks very, very stout. Looks very, very well-built. And when he's running the rock, he's running east to west. He's running through the tackles. He's running outside zone. So definitely every down back for them. It's going to be one of the more interesting guys to watch in this league. Definitely one of the best players in the MSFL already as a freshman. Freshman wide receiver Makari Whitlock had the lone presence on the day in terms of receiving the ball. He had three receptions for 47 yards receiving. The defense, again, despite scoring all those points, don't let it be forgotten that the defense did blanket Midway, holding them to 0 points. Freshman defensive back Isaac Hedgewood had a huge play on the night with a 45-yard reception and he also took it to the house. So I believe that was our fourth pick six of the weekend. Fourth or fifth pick six of the weekend. Last one in the night comes from Isaac Hedgewood for CCSJ. So very, very dominating win for them. Running game looked very, very good. A couple other ball carriers got in the end zone as well, generated some positive yards. Just an overwhelming team win for Camelot College of St. Joseph. They hit the road next week as they go to take on Fompon. Midway continues to try and find themselves this early in the season. Scored 15 points last week in a tightly contested game, but this time they are held to an over. Passing the ball was a challenge this week, like some of the other teams who didn't manage to pull away a win. Midway also threw two quarterbacks out there, threw a very interesting formation out there with both quarterbacks, one of whom is also listed as a receiver. In the running back spot, and then had both of them in the backfield alternating snaps and things like that. So, tried to get really, really tricky. Looks like some did generate a little bit of offense from it. Could be something interesting as they fine tune it and critique it in the future, but was mostly done out of desperation for them to try and generate some yardage, especially once this game kind of got out of hand. Only combined for 93 yards passing and one interception. Another game for Midway also didn't do too well running the ball like some other MSFL teams, like some CSFL teams. This is the second week in a row Midway did not have a rush for over 30 yards. So definitely trying to find an identity there on the offensive line. Definitely trying to find maybe a guy or a combination of guys who can just, you know, be rifles. And even if you don't got to make it happen yourself and you're not generating too much yardage once you get to the second or third level, just turn out three, just turn out two. And we'll see where that gets them. So definitely looking for some guys there to tote the rock effectively. On the defensive side of the ball, again, gave up a lot of points. Shane Lane led the team with 9 tackles. And freshman linebacker Tristan Berrios and freshman DB Connor Cook both had 8 tackles apiece. Midway hits the road next week as they go to visit St. Mary of the Woods College. So that wraps up our week 2 review. Lots of good games, both leagues, CSFL and MSFL. Saw a lot of big time plays, a lot of things that are going to shape the league moving forward, both leagues moving forward. So as always, thank you for joining me. I have been your host as always, Kyle. Catch you guys next week. Peace.